Chapter 1, Judy and the Free Dish. The movie house went dark, and I found myself watching a girl who seemed not much older than I was. Within minutes, her tiny dog was taken away from her. A storm separated her from her family, and a weathered farmhouse was ripped from the earth and spun around like a top. The events in this girl's stark black-and-white world were happening so quickly and were so alarming that I felt tearful and afraid. But then, suddenly and unexpectedly, the screen lit up in dazzling technicolor. Soft music played in the background, and the girl's world became one of enchantment. Dorothy Gale was in a beautiful, sunlit land, far away from her home in Kansas. And far away from mine in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, too. She was in the land of Oz. Thousands of roaches scattered every which way and even began to crawl onto my feet. Terrified, I took the only logical course of action. I screamed hysterically. Then, turning, I rushed out of the apartment. There in front of me stood a very short, bronze-skinned guy in a muumuu, bedecked with jewelry and sporting a broad smile.
"Hey, you okay?"
he asked.
"I was coming up the stairs and I heard you yelling."
Stomping my feet to dislodge the last of the roaches, I replied, "Yeah, but I think I was just attacked by a million bugs. Ugh." Feeling a little more composed, I suddenly realized that I was talking to a stranger. "Who are you?" I asked.
"I'm Loki. I live across the hall. You have been invaded by an army of roaches. Wait, I'll get some spray,"
he offered in a high-pitched sing-song voice. Loki's spray was his own highly perfumed concoction. It didn't matter how it smelled. It worked. An hour later, no more bugs. While we waited for the bugs to scatter or die, Loki filled me in on the previous tenant.
Reed McNaughton had to move out at 3 a.m. and was just minutes ahead of the cops when they came to get her. A real missed thing. I'm not sure exactly what she was wanted for, but it probably had something to do with her selling reefer. She was a huge, hairy, ugly thug. The traffic up and down the stairs was nerve-wracking. She never bothered me, fortunately. But, as you see, she lived like a pig.
It would be many weeks before I understood that the term Miss Thing referred to a high-strung queen, and that it was not at all unusual to refer to such a person as she. The concert lasted for over 2 hours, and if you asked anyone in the audience, they would have agreed that it could have gone on for at least another 2 hours. Judy was spectacular. She sang every song as if it were her last. When she performed The Man That Got Away, I was so riveted by the raw loneliness and desperation in her voice that I didn't feel the tears stream down my face until the song had ended. And when she sang Over the Rainbow, I was again that little boy in the Brooklyn movie theater, and here was my guardian angel promising me bluer skies and happier days. When Judy first left the stage that night, I was among the hundreds of people who got to their feet, wildly applauding and asking for more.
"But I don't have that kind of money," I explained.
"Look at this apartment, Elliot. You ain't gonna have a problem finding it," said Neely, almost in a whisper. "Listen, I don't think you're stupid, but you've been coming in and out of the club for months. It ain't no social club that Charlie and his partners are running. It's a big family business, and I'm part of the family."